This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am delighted to be with you today, as I am Monday through Friday, right here on this same station, as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We are always eager to hear from you. Yes, we are, and you know that to be true, so please do. Pick up the phone and give us a call. Toll-free number for you right here in North America, it's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here, where we love having that holy conversation with you. We surely do. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment. Jeff Burson, lovely person, our social media manager and producer, will retrieve it and put it up. We'll take it and we'll comment on it. We certainly will do that for you. Matt Kubinski is on the phones and we're so excited about that. Please do give him a big old howdy. Hey, keep him busy, busy, busy. It's a good thing to be kept busy, so keep him busy. We certainly do hope that you will keep him busy with your calls. And usually you do on Wednesdays, because you know why that is. It is Wacky Wednesday here. Sue Brinkman is with us, and we're going to be talking about some things pertinent to Christmas. You know, there's all kinds of questions about where does this Christmas custom come from, and is this pagan, and should we be doing it? And we're going to answer some of those kinds of questions, but we want to answer more questions, and those questions coming directly from you. Again, that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. That's how you can keep in touch with everything that's going on in Women of Graceland. And I'll tell you, we look forward to that too, because we would love for you to get involved in our mission to transform the world one woman at a time. And we're watching wonderful things happening, and we keep you informed of many of the things that are going on. We've got a big event coming up February 4th at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church right there in Boca Raton, Florida. We want you to join us there. It's a one-day healing conference. I'm going to be doing the presentations. Healing the Wounds of the Heart is the theme. We are very excited about this, and I'm looking forward to meeting you there in Boca. It's not too far, you know, to get to Boca from anywhere on the east coast of Florida, and certainly not too bad of a drive across the state from the west coast. Easy drive down from Georgia, and you know what? You can get there just about any old way that you want to, as long as you show up and you arrive and you come. Registration is open for you already. I mentioned to you, I think it might have been yesterday, it could have been the day before, that what a beautiful present this would make for somebody for Christmas. Your mom, your sister, your aunt, you know, your wife, oh my goodness, your wife, yes. We want for you to join us for this beautiful day that's going to be taking place there. The information's available for you on our website at womenofgrace.com. Click on the mention of it, or click on the graphic, a beautiful graphic. Oh my goodness, a gorgeous graphic for the day. Click on that. It'll take you to the landing page. It'll tell you all about everything that's going on there. All kinds of other events coming up. I keep mentioning the Pittsburgh event to you that's happening in March. It will be the weekend of the Annunciation for the retreat, the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit. If, in fact, you want to attend the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar that precedes it, that's going to start on the 23rd and run through, you know, the beginning portion of the afternoon of the 24th. All of the information, I think, is getting up there. I'm going to take a look there right now. Yeah, we'll give you the basic information there, and that's what you have for right now. We will have the rest of the info up there, inclusive of the opportunity to register for that. Again, a beautiful gift to give to somebody. You know, I like to give gifts. I give all kinds of gifts, to tell you the truth, but they fall into a wide range of categories, from things that you can wear to things that you can use. But I also like to give gifts that really are going to last. And the only kind of gift that we can give that is lasting is one that helps us move towards our ultimate goal, and that is life on high in Christ Jesus. So gifts that really help for us to develop a deeper relationship and union with our Lord, gifts that help us to be heavenly minded about the events and circumstances that go on in our everyday lives. These kinds of gifts have that lasting power that will stay with us all through eternal life. So, you know, these kinds of events are very, very often transforming events for the women who attend. And I can honestly tell you the Holy Spirit does show up. He really does. And he comes in power and beautiful things happen. So, you know, this is a kind of a gift I think that would delight the woman in your life or the women in your life. And it would be one that would be just a beautiful, beautiful way to help them take the next step on their journey to Jesus. A lovely, lovely thing there. Also mentioned to you, and I'm eager for you to go out to our blogs. They're available for you right there on our website. You can retrieve them simply by clicking on blog, which is in the middle of the homepage there, or our New Age Q&A blog that Sue, our Wednesday woman, does for us on all kinds of topics, you know, very, very important for you to explore. So I invite you to get out there, take a look at those. And we have a new blogger with us, Maggie Pletnow, and I'm so excited about this. Maggie has a very special ministry within the context of her profession, and she is a therapist, but she works a lot with women who have suffered the loss of a child through miscarriage or through stillbirth, or who have issues relating to their capacity to bear a child. And we're just delighted to have her join our blogging staff. Her first blog is out there. It's an introduction to her, but she also gives you a little bit of her own personal history in this regard, which I think is a perfect foundational blog for this new offering that we've got for you. So I invite you to get out there and to take a look at that. In the meantime, you know, I want you to be teeing up, as it were, with your questions for Sue Brinkman. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also want to invite you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page to get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up there. As you know, Sue also, in addition to that New Age blog, offers us a podcast on the New Age. They're archived for you right in the library area of our website. You'll see library right there in the navigational bar. If you click on that, you'll see all of the offerings that we have there for you. But you're going to see Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness. And when you click on that, all of the categories pop up with little graphics. And you click on that, and she'll take you pretty deeply into the subject matter through the podcast that she has on that particular area. We'll be talking a little bit about that too when I introduce Sue on the other side of the break, which is coming up very shortly here. But it does give me an opportunity to talk a little bit about the great saint whose feast day we celebrate today. It was interesting this morning, Jack made a comment and he said, wow, you know, we're kind of like into a trifecta of saints. You know, we had St. Nicholas, today we have St. Ambrose, tomorrow, of course, is a great holy day of obligation where we celebrate our Blessed Mother, December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, always a beautiful day in the church. But St. Ambrose, wonderful, wonderful man of God. He was the Bishop of Milan. He actually gave St. Monica some very good advice and insight on her son, St. Augustine. And when Ambrose and Augustine met, it became a friendship that was formed for eternity because Ambrose really had the final word in helping St. Augustine, that great theologian of the church, doctor of the church, take that step into the fullness of truth. We're going to be right back inviting you to stay with us. Woohoo! 833-288-EWTN. Well, welcome back, everybody. You hear that music, and that lets you know that it's Wednesday on Women of Grace, and we are eager to hear from you. Phone lines are lighting up already. We're going to get to y'all. Just ask you to hang on for just a quick moment. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. What is the toll-free number for you in North America? Here it is. It's 833-288-3986. So, listen, I got to tell you, I'm going to give you a little backstory here. So, Sue and I were chit-chatting there on the break along with Jeff Burson. And So Sue said she liked being called what did I call you, Sue?
The Wednesday woman.
So we've coined a whole new title for her. She is the wacky Wednesday wog woman.
Oh, I like that. That is really good.
The quadruple W. And then I was telling them that yesterday I was on campus for a meeting, and the gift shop on campus, the religious catalog gift shop on campus, was having tasters, samplers of Jingle Bell Java, which is a coffee offered by the mystic monks. And I think that it's also being offered through religious catalog, which is why I think they were having the sampling. Anyway, so good. I bought some, and I think it's double loaded with caffeine because I have been like in the fast lane since I had my cup of coffee this morning. It's really good, though. Anyway,
I want to try some of that.
Yeah, you should try some of it. You will like it. It comes in you can brew it, or it comes in the K-cups. And, you know, I like the K-cups because I only generally have one cup of coffee in the morning. Could you imagine if I would have had two of these this morning? It would be really bad.
Wow. You would have got all your house cleaning done in an hour. That's why I wanted to try some of it. I thought, God, I can get all my cleaning done and all my decorations finished.
Well, you should get some and try it, because I'm quite certain that could happen for you. As it is, I have just been talking a mile a minute since I drank it. Anyway, all of that being said, we are happy you're with us today. And, you know, a couple of things that I wanted you to just give everybody a little heads up about Grace Under Fire. I mean, I mention it all of the time when you are with us, and I mention it sometimes, I think, when you're not with us. But that being said, you know, this has really been a beautiful, beautiful effort on your part. How many of these podcasts do you think you have out there right now?
I have my last count. I don't have my book in front of me, but my last count, I think, was 81.
There you go. So, goodness sakes, that's a lot of viewing, folks, on these topics, you know, and various categories. So it's very handy. And so if you don't want to read an article, you can just listen to Sue, and you can go out there and do that. And I just want to mention to you, Sue, that I had the opportunity Sunday night to speak to a group of kids right here locally at our cathedral parish, St. Paul's. And what a wonderful group of kids. And Ryan Penny, who is the youth minister there, asked me to talk. They're doing a science and faith series. So, and he said, you know, address mindfulness, you know, and some of these other topics, which, of course, that was wonderful to be invited to do. So I was talking with him about the New Age, and, you know, they had lots and lots of questions. I was really impressed by these young people. They had lots and lots of questions. So I sent them, I told the kids, I said, if you want more information about this, go to, they were middle schoolers and high schoolers. I said, go to our New Age blog. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can pull young people into these offerings, because they're the ones that are really targeted, you know, by these companies and by these organizations that are trying to instill these anti-Christian non-truths through the occult, human potential, Eastern Oriental mysticism into the minds of our kids.
Yes, yes, and I'm happy to know that they were asking all those questions, and I love the whole basis of that group, science and faith, because, you know, a lot of most of our blogs, I always put the science in there, because we believe in the union of faith and reason, right? They have to jive, and this is a great way for kids to learn stuff, especially about things like mindfulness and you know, what's wrong with mindfulness? Why isn't it something that we should be involved in if we're Catholics? This is great for kids to be asking these kind of questions. And all of our blogs, and particularly these podcasts, that's mm-hmm. really I had in mind when, you know, we started to discuss this about a year ago, you know, just amongst ourselves here at Women of Grace. They like things to be, you know, quick, you know, give me 5 minutes. I just want to listen to it. They don't want to read it necessarily. They don't have time. They're busy. They're between classes, but they'll listen to a podcast, you know? So,
yes.
This is a way to reach them. And mm-hmm. a lot of the podcasts that we have up there of that rather large collection of 81, all your basics are in there. Your yoga, Reiki, mindfulness, different forms of meditation. They're all in there. Centering mm-hmm. prayer. All of that stuff is in there, so that if they go to that library, which is just at womenofgrace.com/library, you're going to be able to access those podcasts and really There's a lot of different categories, you know, occult, new age, alternative medicine, and go in there and just really reap the benefits of many, many podcasts that are about maybe 5 minutes or less. And they'll just give you the basic facts that you don't get when you around on the internet.
Yeah, and that's outrageously important for our young people, because as I say, they are especially targeted. And may I say, within the the general mix of young people, I would say that young girls are very specific. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't that be the way that it would be when you really think about the fall of man and you go back to Genesis? I mean, it was the woman that the evil one deluded, right? And when he deluded her, he got the man. He got Adam, right? And so that kind of activity, or if you want to say strategy, of the devil persists to this day, and here we see that these kinds of things are really, they have our young girls in the crosshairs, and we have to be very, very aware of that as adults, as the people that have authority over these children, parents primarily, but also teachers and those that interact with children in youth group settings. We need to be very, very aware of all of this stuff. So kudos to you for all the good that you do. I mean, really and truly, Sue, I think that you're the premier person doing these things. But I will say this to you too, Sue, that last week I interviewed Father Donald Haggerty last Thursday, and we did, I don't know, 3 or 4 shows together. I can't remember exactly how many, but it was 3 or 4 shows. But that being said, he was talking with us about St. John of the Cross, and he was talking about the, it's his book, St. John of the Cross, Master of Contemplation. And he hit the centering prayer issues straight on in those programs. And I was so pleased. And I shared with him about your work. I shared with him about the work that I had done prior to all of that, going back to 1990. And, he was really delighted to hear about, our efforts in this area. And I think it's very important.
Oh, absolutely. It is, especially centering prayer. I can remember years ago now, this is when it first started to become popular, back in like the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And the friar who came to our community, our Carmelite community, he gave a talk about it. And he told what was wrong with centering prayer. And he said, if you're wondering why you're not getting ahead in the spiritual life, and you've been sitting around in an empty void for 20 minutes every morning and every night, that's why.
Hmm.
In other words, he was saying, the whole basic premise of centering prayer is all about sitting around in an empty void. They're saying, oh, yeah, but we use the name of Jesus as a mantra. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter whose name you use to chase away your thoughts. If you're chasing away your thoughts, you're using a mantra-based system of prayer.
That's not how we pray.
I'll never forget that. The way he said, he was just point blank about it. If you're wondering why you're not advancing in prayer, that's why. If you're sitting around in an empty void, it's never going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah. And, of course, there's all kinds of reasons why that is. And it also is an unsafe, spiritually unsafe place to put yourself. Mm-hmm. There's reasons for that, too. That's not really our topic, though. Our topic today does have to do with Christmas. I'm thinking y'all are thinking, Jeanette and Sue catch up during this program. And that's generally pretty true. So you're welcome to our privy conversations. But all of that being said, we're happy that the phone lines are lighting up. And please do call us at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Also use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page to get your questions or comments up as well. Let's talk before we start to go to the phone lines, because they're going to take us in many sundry places. But I want to talk a little bit about Christmas. Christmas, for all kinds of reasons, people always grow very concerned at Christmas time about pagan influences through many of the customs that are part of our Christmas experience. So let's debunk some of these things and let's maybe, applaud some of the others.
Okay, well, the one that I posted for this week is on Christmas trees. These people who ask questions about it, they come out of the woodwork every year around this time. Isn't Christmas derived from the pagan feast of Saturnalia? No. How about Christmas trees? Aren't they condemned in the Bible? No. And that's the one I wrote about this week was Are they condemned in the Bible? And people, they cite this passage from Jeremiah where it says, "Thus says the Lord, learn not the customs of the nations and have no fear of the signs of the heavens, though the nations fear them. For the cult idols of the nations are nothing, wood cut from the forest, wrought by craftsmen with the axe, adorned with silver and gold, with nails and hammers they are fastened, that they may not totter." Well, they're saying, well, that's a description of the Christmas tree. Really? Actually, what this refers to, in the days of Jeremiah, people would cut down trees and branches. The pagans would do this. They would fashion them into gods. And then they would decorate them with ornaments, and they would worship them. Mm-hmm. This is not what we do to, with Christmas trees.
No, nobody's bowing down before a Christmas tree.
No.
Only the open presents on Christmas morning.
Exactly. But they say, oh, yeah, but you know, the Romans, they decorated their temples with evergreen trees. So they decorated their temples with a lot of different things. And in Europe, the people used to cut down evergreen trees, and they would plant them in boxes inside their houses during the wintertime to just remind them of the coming of spring. That's not the origin of the Christmas tree. The origin of the Christmas tree is actually extremely Catholic. It couldn't get any more Catholic. It's associated with that great apostle to the Germans, Saint Boniface. He was the one who, this all came about on a Christmas Eve. He died in 754, so we're talking about the 8th century here. It happened on Christmas Eve. He led a very small group of missionaries to visit the inhabitants of a pagan village that was known as Geismar. And it was in the dead of winter. And the town's inhabitants, they were gathered around a very big oak tree known as the Thunder Oak, which was dedicated to their god Thor. Now, that annual event involved sacrifice. It was human sacrifice, and it was usually a small child. And Boniface wanted very much to convert that village by destroying that oak. But the pagans there said, oh, you're never going to be able to do that. Our god Thor will never allow you to. Your god isn't strong enough. Well, finally, Boniface took him up on that. He brought his missionaries there. They were afraid, by the way. They didn't want to do it. But he said, no, come on. God's going to protect us. Here we go. And he steadied their nerves. He gave them like a good pep talk beforehand. And then they went into the village. And they just happened to have been gathering around that tree at the time, at the Thunder Oak. And he went in there and he interrupted the ritual. And he grabbed an axe and he chopped down the oak tree, chopped it down right in front of him. And the town's inhabitants were shocked. And he then began to preach the gospel. And he used this little fir tree that was standing behind this fallen oak. And he used that as a tool of evangelization. And this is what he said, which I think was so beautiful. He said, "This little tree, a young child of the forest, shall be your holy tree tonight. It is the wood of peace. It is the sign of an endless life, for its leaves are ever green. See how it points upward to heaven. Let this be called the tree of the Christ child. Gather about it, not in the wild wood, but in your own homes. There it will shelter no deeds of blood, but loving gifts and rites of kindness."
Oh,
isn't
wow,
that beautiful?
Yes, it gives me goosebumps. It's so beautiful.
That's the evergreen tree. Now, you know, the Catholic tradition of using an evergreen tree, it spread throughout Germany. That's where it started. And it took till about the 16th century. So it took a long time for this to really catch on. But devout Christians began to bring these trees into their home and decorate them. At first, they were leaving them outside. And then they started to bring them into the home. And it caught on in America kind of after the Puritans. The Puritans went after the concept. They didn't like it. They thought it was pagan. And they stopped it. But Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, they appeared in this Christmas sketch one year in the Illustrated London News. This was, I guess, in the 1800s, late 1800s. And they were standing around a Christmas tree with their children. And they were very popular, if you know. Victoria was very popular with her subjects. And everybody became fascinated by this tree that they had. Before long, Christmas trees were sprouting up all over Europe, and then eventually they came to the United States. So there's many stories, legends, myths surrounding the founding of the Christmas tree, including the claim that Martin Luther originated it. But there's really only one story that's rooted in a real person and a real event, and that is the story of Saint Boniface, who destroyed Thor's mighty oak. And that was a Catholic Answers, an article that I was reading on that was how they ended it. They said there's only one rooted in a real person and a real event, and that was Boniface. And I thought it was just beautiful what he said, you know, bring that little tree into your home. There it will shelter no deeds of blood, but loving gifts and rites of kindness. So put up those Christmas trees, which I haven't done yet. And I'm planning to do this weekend. That's why I want that coffee so I can get this stuff done, you know. But this is the origin of the Christmas tree. So wherever you hear people saying, oh, that's pagan, it's not pagan. It's not pagan at all.
Yeah. Wow. Now, let me ask you this. You have this blog out there on this topic, Are Christmas Trees Condemned in the Bible, with a beautiful picture. That picture would be a beautiful Christmas card, I think. You could just sit with that and meditate on it, actually. Do you mention in here that beautiful statement by St. Boniface? Is that in your article? It's in there.
Absolutely. So, it's in there.
Oh, wow. So here's what we would have you do. I mean, get onto the blog there and read about this, you know, and you might want to share this story with other people, because I think just the symbolism behind the Christmas tree that St. Boniface gives us is quite beautiful. And I'm not really sure, Sue, that I've ever really heard this history before. I don't think so. It's very fresh to me.
It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And one other good thing we have about this is available on podcast too. So if you don't have time, I include the link at the end of this article. Say click here for the podcast on the subject and share it with your friends and family, especially those who might be too busy. Just let them listen to the podcast and it gives them all this information.
Yep, there it is. I clicked on it and it is there for you. So very, very interesting, very, very fascinating. Something that you might want to talk about around the Christmas table, as a matter of fact, or maybe even before, as we are preparing for Christmas during this Advent season. You know, it gives us, I think, a beautiful image that we can take into our time of prayer and meditate upon as we are preparing for the Christ child to be placed underneath our tree, the whole reason for the season. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you to use right here on Women of Grace Live. In addition to that, we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Please use the opportunity there in the chat feature to get your stuff up for us here. We're going to come right back. Go to Janet in Northern Virginia, then off to Beverly and Antoinette, and we're looking for your call. Yes, I am. We've got three lines, and one of them has your name on it, or will soon when you call in. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are with Sue Brinkman today because it is Wacky Wednesday, and she is our Wacky Wednesday WOG woman. Oh, boy, I love it. Alliteration is my thing.
Wacky Wednesday WOG woman. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, we'll take it. I know. But what a beautiful thing. And Sue was sharing with us about the origins of the Christmas tree and why this is not a pagan thing. It's a very Catholic thing, really given to us by a great saint, St. Boniface. So we invite you to get out to her blog or her podcast. She tells us about it on the podcast. You can find it right there under Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness. It's in our library. Click on library, the word, in our navigational bar, and it'll take you there, and you'll see what's available for you. Additionally, she has written out an article on it in the New Age Q&A blog, so that's available for you too. But we've got lots of people that have been very patient, and I don't want to try their patience any longer, so let's get to these phones. We have Janet with us. She is in Northern Virginia, listening to us via Guadalupe Catholic Radio Network. How are you there, Janet?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Johnette.
Good.
Here is my question.
Okay,
let's see. My 30-year-old nephew, whom I haven't seen in quite a number of years, him and his, I'm going to say, girlfriend, even though they've been engaged for probably about 6 years now, I don't see marriage anytime in the near future. Anyway, he's coming from out of the area asking my husband and I if he and his girlfriend, who are very, very, very serious about practicing yoga, and they are Buddhist. They wanted to stay at our house for a week, and because he's got, quote, a gig nearby, near where I live. And I consulted a priest, and he affirmed all that I was thinking, that, you know, they are very serious. They're They practice yoga. That's basically all that they do. And anyway, they're high into it, have been in it for like 10 years. And so I was told by my priest that, you know, if they're practicing Buddhism and, you know, I don't know what their rituals are at night and all of this, that, and the other. Well, my husband and I, we both feel very, very passionate about, you know, evangelizing. Obviously, they're very, very lost. And he felt really strong about, Janet, this is a great opportunity for us to evangelize, and we should host them. And I was extremely uncomfortable about it. So I guess, and then he came back and said that a dear priest friend of ours, he has said Mass in our home on, you know, multiple occasions over the years. And his priest friend said, you know what, your house is blessed with, you know, the Masses that I've said. And, you know, he gave my husband different advice. So I want to hear what the answer is, because even my priest said any exorcist would agree with, you know, my take on this. So Sue, Johnette, what are your thoughts?
And your take on it, Janet, is to not allow them in the house.
Correct, to protect my family and I from this.
Yeah, that would have been mine too. Janet, I didn't want to jump in ahead of you though. Go right ahead.
Oh, no, I totally agree. Here's what I think. I think, number one, we never want to presume upon the Lord, right? So, you know, though there have been Masses that have been offered in your home, and obviously you and your husband are very good Catholics. You're very staunch in your faith. I'm guessing that you've got religious articles in the home, blessed articles in the home, you know, all of the holy reminders that Mother Angelica would be thrilled about. I'm sure that all of that is in place there. But we still don't want to presume upon the Lord. That being said, to have them come and stay in your home, I don't know, Sue. It seems to me that that whatever spirits could be attached to them would be invited in with them if we gave permission.
That's my thought too, and especially because, Janet, you're saying how serious they are about it. So that's
serious.
Telling me that when they're practicing yoga, they're calling upon those Hindu gods. Mm-hmm. And we certainly don't want that. Now, your house has been blessed. I'm sure that you're in a state of grace. You want to make sure that you are to protect yourself from that. That's one thing. But you're still, like Johnette said, you're almost like you're tempting God by getting involved in this, especially with people who are that far off. But the one question that comes to my mind, were they baptized Catholic? Were they raised Catholic and then turned to Buddhism? Like, what happened there?
Well, my nephew, he is from... my sister, who is his mother, she is now going through her second divorce. And yes, he was years ago raised Catholic, but his father has gone way off the rails and uses drugs and, you know, and pot. And I'm pretty darn certain that they smoke pot. I'm pretty sure of it. And
right.
But here's a question. My, so he is baptized. I don't know about his girlfriend. I don't get the sense that she was raised in anything. Mm-hmm. But my, our priest friend, he said, well, you know what? They're Buddhist. Well, Buddhism is a non-theistic system. It's not that it's, quote, a god, and they're not, quote, Hindu, but yoga is a Hindu practice.
Right.
Right.
So, yes, absolutely. And it is a Hindu practice. And, you know, you've got another issue here. Obviously, they've been engaged for 6 years. My guess is they've been living together.
Correct.
So
yes.
Then you're going to face
right.
That situation.
Correct.
So and I don't think you hosting them in your home or not hosting them in your home is a deal breaker for evangelization. And I think that you could simply say, we're not in a position really to have you come to the house, but we sure do want to get together with you, you know,
yes,
go out to dinner with them and have the conversation, you know? So I don't think it has to be conflated into them staying with you to be able to accomplish the goal that your husband has in mind, which is an honorable goal.
It is. And I know that we're going to be faced with, again, them asking. I didn't make up a story, but I sort of made it more than what it really is as to, quote, why they are not able to come and stay with us. And that's another story. Like, I kind of twisted a little bit, but I feel like we're going to be faced with this again, because this area, I do foresee them coming back here, because it's where he was practicing on a number of years, and they really, really like him. And so, anyway, I don't know if we... So, there you go. I mean, but you do see the dangers and all of that. Like, even though our house is blessed by these masses that have been said, well, it doesn't mean that these spirits can't latch on to us and our kids who aren't always in the state of grace. All, you know, we fall out of the state of grace, you know, I don't know, quite frequently, I'd say.
Yeah,
some of
us,
you know, kids, teenagers.
Right, yeah. Right. And I mean, I guess, Sue, you know, talk with Jan a little bit about we want to be cautious, but we don't want to become scrupulous.
No, we don't want to become scrupulous at all. And I don't think you're being scrupulous in this. I think that your response is very measured as far as, yeah, we'd love to get together with you, but unfortunately, we really can't have you in our house right now. And you know, because of their practices and what they are practicing, we don't really wouldn't want that practicing in the house. But you also don't want them sharing the same bedroom in your house.
Oh, no.
Oh,
this
yeah,
is not
that
something that you're
going
to want to encourage. So I
exactly.
think that yeah, I think that you're doing what is right for you.
They're supposed to be tolerant, right? The young people in that. Ask them, you know, to please just be tolerant of us. This is our faith. These are our belief systems. We love you very much, though. We'd love to get together with you. You know, how about if we do that?
Okay.
I would suggest that. I also have quite a few articles on Buddhism.
Okay.
And why a lot of people, especially young people, believe that it is okay to get to be both Catholic and Buddhist. Because
okay.
they believe, well, Buddhists don't really have a God and all that. It's very non-dogmatic, which is all very true. But those who are not very well catechized don't understand that a lot of the things about Buddhism is very much opposed to Christianity. You know,
okay.
they don't believe in suffering. Christians
yep.
believe that suffering brings us closer to God. They don't believe in the soul. They don't believe in the existence of a soul. I mean, a lot of times the people who are practicing it don't really even know what it is that they're practicing.
Okay.
So you might want to educate yourself. That might help you in your evangelization efforts.
Yes. This is on your
blog.
On the blog. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Very, very helpful. And having a Buddhist statue or whatever in a home, isn't that like forbidden also? Like not, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. A lot of people will have it in there because they think it's artistic and they just
right.
like to have it in there. But I know, and I've spoken personally to an exorcist who said he will not go in and bless a house that's got a Buddha statue in it. And he's
okay.
already told the people, and he said he told the people, you get that out of here, and then I'll come in here and I'll bless
you.
Yeah,
your because,
house.
You know, yeah. Buddha held him, you know, the Buddhists hold him in high esteem.
Yes.
Whether they consider him to be a god or not, I'm not quite sure. But
okay.
they hold him in high esteem. But this is someone who is basically encouraging and has encouraged, you know, and did encourage. You know, a lifestyle that's outside of the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. So, you know, I don't even know if you'd want to call it heretical teaching. Usually heresy is based on the exaggeration or the denial of a given truth. But all of that being said, it is definitely oppositional to a Catholic worldview. So why do we want to do that? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's crazy. But Jana, thank you for your call. And I know that you're going to weather this well. And, you know, hopefully your husband will hear what you're saying. And always best to err on the side of caution. That's kind of mm-hmm. like my little, you know, statement for life. You know, err on the side of caution. It's not going to hurt you not to have him. Who knows what will happen if you do. So thanks for your call. I want to move forward to Antoinette right now. She is in Connecticut and a first-time caller, and I'm grabbing my little bell here. Oh, you got the bell.
I got mine.
Whoa, that's great. Yep, I got mine. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Stereo bells.
Welcome, Antoinette.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm sorry this is not a Christmas question.
That's all right.
But since Sue is there, there's been something that's been very upsetting to me. When my daughter and her husband moved into their new home, they purchased these, what they say, are very expensive modern art. One is an extremely large canvas of multiple skulls. With different colors, and the other one is just a single skull. So they're two very large paintings. But as soon as I saw them, my heart sank and I felt sick. And I felt like they were bringing in something into their home. And since they've been in this new home, they've had nothing but difficulties. Serious issues with health and jobs and children. It's just been, every time I go in there, I can't bear to look at those paintings. And I said to her, why did you buy those? And she told me that they were, you know, they're fashionable, they like modern art. You see, I know you see it on clothing, on pillows. It's considered fashionable, but not to me. My daughter is a Catholic. They're raising their children Catholic. But I just have this gut feeling that they've welcomed something into their home that is not of God.
Go ahead, Sue.
That may well be. However, the skull is used in a lot of Christian painting, too, as, by the way, to remind us about death and the afterlife and how we need to be mindful of that during the course of our life. Memento mori is very much the symbol of that as skulls. But I think the skull art that you're talking about is this modern stuff that's out there right now.
Right.
And it is very macabre. Right. It's not very good. As far as them having problems, though, because of these paintings being in the house. We don't know that that's, first of all, that it is as a result of the paintings. It could be because that kind of art may have come with a blessing on it.
Yes.
A lot of the artists out there, you know, put that on there, what they call a blessing, but it's not really a blessing. It's what we would call a curse. They might have done that and put that out there. The only way to test that, of course, would be to remove those things from the house and see if the situation improves in any way.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask, what about the artist? Are these signed pieces? I'm thinking if they're expensive
art. Yes, they are.
Go ahead.
I was seriously, they're very difficult. I've looked to see if I could find the name of the artist and wanted to look it up. It's just like scribbled in there, but I think I will, since you brought it up, ask her, who are these?
and look them up. Look them up online, because there might be something in their biographical information that would give you some insight into what they're doing in their lives. Oftentimes, artists will tell you where they got the inspiration, or they'll tell you, what it was that they're trying to depict here. And that'll probably give you a little bit of insight and help you to see if there is even the possibility of a connection between those paintings and what's going on. And as Sue said, I think that's well worth exploring.
Yeah, I agree. Some of the skulls, even though it's not possible when there's a skull to show, you'll see a broken bone, but these even have like the incision marks,
That just sounds gory.
Whoa.
Really
it is.
Dark.
They're awful.
It's dark. They are. Really dark.
They're very dark, and it's so upsetting to me. And it's just heartbreaking to see that this is featured in their home,
yeah,
and where they're raising their children. And
do they go to church? Do they go to church?
My daughter does. Yeah. With the children. My son-in-law is not Catholic. Sometimes he'll come. But because of health issues, going back to the thing, difficulties, they haven't been able to attend church for the last, probably since the pandemic, because the serious health issue for one of the children. So, you know, that's precluding it. But it's,
well, that's what I would do, Antoinette. I mean, obviously you can't dictate to your kids what they hang on their walls, but I would try to find out who the artist is, do a little research. I would even talk with her about it and say, you know, every time I come in, you know, I just get the creeps in here because, it's an uncomfortable feeling. You know, do you know anything about this artist that painted these, you know, and see what you can find out that way. And then you can basically at least have some further knowledge on what might be at work here.
Okay. I appreciate it. That's good advice. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, this is something I just don't get, to tell you the truth. I mean, I don't get the fascination with skulls. I can't understand it. And we even see this on children's clothing. It's like, what are you doing? I don't understand it. I do understand the concept of, you know, the skull that monks used to sometimes keep in their rooms, you know, you know, that was a reminder that you are dust, unto dust you shall return. I can understand that, but today, that is not why people are wearing these things, you know?
No, it's just this dark view that's become fashionable. It's very dystopian. Mm-hmm. And this is just where a lot of young people are.
Yeah.
You know, not even, it's gone beyond the goths. That's where it really started, was with the goth movement. But now it's really spread throughout all their literature, their video games, that very, very dark stuff that they're into. And the skulls and the skull art is very strange looking. I mean, this stuff is just bad.
It's scary.
It's not
looking
like what we would put in our, like we would have a crucifix maybe, and then a skull next to it, and then a Bible. That's what we do here. It's for meditation purposes, to remind yourself of the four last things. You know, this is what we would use a skull for, but this is not what she's talking about. I've seen some of the art, and it's very bizarre.
It is. Let's get to Beverly in Central Illinois, because we're running short on time here. The time just flies on this show. Hey, Beverly, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good, good. What's your question for us today?
Okay, well, it's regarding a book that my 35-year-old daughter gave me. I am a devout Catholic. She is also a Catholic, but she does not go to church or attend church.
Okay.
She gave me a book called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy, and it's Unlock Your Master Key to Success, talking about awesome powers of your subconscious mind, improving your relationships, finance, your physical well-being, and unlocking the power of your learning the techniques and so forth of the miracle working power that will lift you from confusion, misery, melancholy, failure, and guide you to a true place, solve your difficulties, sever you from emotional and physical bondage, and place you on a royal road to freedom, happiness, and peace of mind.
Okay.
And she gave me this book, and she says, oh, Mom, you've got to read it. It works, and it's fabulous. I do it every night before I go to bed and so forth.
Oh, dear. Wonder what
and
it is she's doing.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I wonder what it is she's doing. Sue, let's talk about this for a moment here.
Yeah, this book is actually a reprint of a 1963 book. You know, you believe all the things that he says, I got a bridge to sell you. I mean, they all tell you that. If you learn how to do this or this or that with your mind. You think a certain way, you're going to attract vibrations from the universe because the thoughts are believed to have vibrations. This is all a bunch of New Age bunk is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of that new thought movement that was from the 19th century. It's got an ancient, a really old history to it. Yeah. And it's just being repackaged over and over again. This one was out in 1963. So this was probably right about when that new thought was beginning to merge into the New Age movement and the human potential movement of the New mm-hmm. Age. You know, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. And everything is the power of the mind. The mind can do all these things for you. And of course, the truth of that is it can't do those things. Right. They're elevating the mind into being like a god
yeah.
that can do all these powerful things. And it simply cannot. And what you're doing right. is setting yourself up for disappointment.
Exactly. And the idea is that all of the answers lie within you because in the end, you happen to be God. There's no being outside of you. Well, thank you for your call today, friends. Needling, get out to our website, Jane. Look it up in the New
Dry
Age
needling.
Blog. Yeah, Sue's got articles on that. And you can find the answer to your question there. Loved being with you, Kathy. Call us back tomorrow. God bless you all. Bye now.